from JMIS, Andrew Kelleher. Good morning.
Yeah, morning, Mike.
Now, talk to me about the Chinese, because I've been talking to some property people of late, and there is a feeling about the place the Chinese have packed up and gone home and taken their money, and this would be around some new rules.
Yeah, there is. The times are changing. Now, this story has been, it's been doing the rounds in Australia for the past few days, but hasn't really been picked up here, and it may be that it's of less consequence in New Zealand because we do have other regulations. But the Chinese authorities are tightening the rules on overseas investment by Chinese companies, and this is going to be quite significant in the Australian perspective. So they've introduced new guidelines. Essentially what they've said is that real estate and hotel deals are now on what they call a restricted list. So they have to apply for permission, is my understanding, but I could be wrong there. But this could potentially constrain new real estate developments in those big cities in Australia, and potentially impact on New Zealand as well, particularly in that hotel development space in places like Auckland. Now, according to data from the Australian company Knight Frank, last year 38% of all residential property investments were purchased by Chinese companies. So this is developments, so this is residential developments. So call it 40%. So that's a very big chunk. So that potential pool of funding is not available. So if you sort of look through this, there's been big dollars paid in Sydney and in Melbourne over the last couple of years for those potential residential property development sites. I mean, huge money. And that could all of a sudden just disappear. Now, this is all part of the Chinese government sort of campaign against what they call the irrational acquisition of assets outside of Australia. Now, it's not just Australia. In the last couple of days, there's a big group called Dalian Wanda Group, and they've scrapped plans to buy a land plot in London. It was around $800-900 million New Zealand dollars, and they basically walked away. Now, that Dalian land is the investment vehicle of a billionaire guy called Wang Jianlin, and he's been one of the most prolific buyers of overseas assets in the last couple of years. And there's others there as well. So it'd be very interesting to see if this has flow on into New Zealand.
Let's have a look at a couple of results yesterday.
Sure.
Good and the ugly. Tourism Holdings, I mean, if tourism can't do well, nothing does well. And they did.
They delivered. You've always got, they've executed and they've delivered. Now, we're only talking about the migration and tourism numbers yesterday, and it's obviously very strong, the world loving on New Zealand. Mike, I have friends from Hawaii at the moment who are skiing in Queenstown. Is that close to Newcastle?
Isn't that amazing, eh?
Yeah. Anyway, THL's leverage to the tourism phenomenon, very strong financial year in 2017, net profit after tax up 24%. That's ahead of previous guidance. We always like that. Better than expected results in the second half of the year. Great result out of their New Zealand rentals, I think up over 50%. They don't only going to give detailed guidance at their annual shareholders meeting in October for 2018, so we look forward to that. Share price up 2.5% yesterday. And Comvita, they had a great day yesterday too.
Yes, good result. They did. Sky didn't, though.
No, let's go to the other side of the ledger. Sky, obviously coming off a year where their merger with Vodafone was declined by the Commerce Commission. But look, they've got revenue subscriber numbers falling, profit down 21%. They've got their program costs rising as well. So profit slid to $116 million. They were $147 the previous year. Mike, there's nothing sort of special here. They're just getting chipped away at by the likes of Netflix and Lightbox. And there's no guarantee they're going to be able to dominate the acquisition of content as well. So they've got fewer satellite customers, fewer people taking up the premium content of like sports and movies. The thing is, the changing environment, Mike, and Sky are just going to have to evolve. Share price yesterday got knocked down just under 3%.
Indeed, and we've got the big preview today, and the word is from the economic world that it's anywhere between $1 billion and $2 billion more than they said in the budget, which is, that's lolly time, isn't it?
Yeah, and if you roll forward, the really interesting thing here, if you go forward 2 or 3 years, you're talking about potential operating surpluses of $4 to $5 billion. So people have got money to spend, but let's not speculate. Let's wait and hear what they've got to say. But keep an eye on taxes.
Exactly. The man of the hour, Stephen Joyce, with us after 8 o'clock this morning. What are the numbers?
Dow Jones, 21,866, up 163 points overnight, so bounce back there. Also on the S&P 500, 2448, up 20. NASDAQ up over 1%, 6285. Europe, similar stories, all up there. FTSE 100, 7381, up 63. Nikkei, down a little bit yesterday, 19,383. Shanghai Composite, up small, 3290. The Aussies up about 0.4% yesterday, A6 200 at 5750. And we were relatively unchanged yesterday. NZX 50,7867, one New Zealand dollar this morning. On the wholesale markets, we'll buy 0.7277 US, 0.9209 Aussie, 0.6189 Euro, 0.5676 quid, 79.66 yen. Gold is trading at $1,285 US dollars, and Brent crude US dollars $51.69.
Nice one. Have a good Wednesday. See you tomorrow. Andrew Kelleher, JMIS Limited, and you get hold of him and his team and his expertise at jmis.co.nz.